Bene omnia fecit, et surus fecit audire et mutus loqui. He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the very best of stories, the setting where the story takes place is very often just as important as the action that unfolds. By its contours, by its history, by the blood in its sand, the place, the land, often speaks as eloquently as the actors on its stage. Today's Holy Gospel is no different. Our Blessed Savior, returning from the Mediterranean coast, from the historic cities of Tyre and Sidon, coming into the region of the Decapolis, is at the crossroads of many worlds. Let us remember that none of our Savior's miracles are mere prodigies. He does not heal to impress. Fame is not his end. He restores to instruct. His miracles make visible to the eyes of men the faith that dwells concealed in the hearts of those so healed. But it is also a prophecy of a greater healing, which his own precious blood will win when it waters the earth beneath his holy cross. From his sacred side to every Christian's crown, in today's Holy Gospel, our Blessed Savior heals a man, both deaf and mute, with words that are echoed at every baptism in the Church's more ancient rites. Every baptism that we perform in this sacred temple devoted to our God will hear those divine words, "Ephphatha, be thou open." But as I said, the divine word speaks as eloquently by the place he has chosen for this Sunday's miracle. The Decapolis was a confederation of Greek cities established after the victories of Pompey the Great, the Roman general. But what matters more for us in our consideration is that this region is truly at the crossroads of the land promised to the chosen people, of historic Greek influence, of Roman power, of Gentile civilization, in short, at the crossroads of the world. It is here that our Lord opens the ears of the man in this Sunday's Gospel. It is here that his divine eloquence gives this man to speak. Remember that our Lord is not only the author of sacred scripture, but the author of time itself. He weaves into every event of our lives by his loving providence every single detail. Its meaning may for a time escape us. Its setting may disquiet us. But everything in our lives turns to our greatest good if we love God, in the words of St. Paul. In that vein, he has chosen deliberately the Decapolis in this Sunday's Gospel. This crossroads, then, of nations, of civilizations, is the backdrop of our story. But our Lord sharpens our focus yet still by retreating to another kind of sanctum. Before he heals this man, whom is brought to him, he retreats from the crowd. It is away from them that he has opened the ears, loosened the tongue of this man. Our Savior's stage is therefore the whole world, yes, but not the world of worldly fame, but the world of every human heart. The Church, our Mother, uses the very words of our Savior today, as I said, in the rite of baptism. The priest imitates our Lord's sacred gesture in taking saliva, spittle, and tracing with his fingers the sign of our salvation, the cross, on the ears and nostrils of the infant baptized. Ephphatha, he will say, quod est ad apparire in odorem suavitatis, be thou opened in the odor of sweetness. The Church prays not for mere hearing, but for receptivity, that our ears might be primed to receive the complete word of God. St. Gregory the Great, in his commentary on today's Gospel, sees in our Savior's fingers and saliva the gifts of the Holy Ghost and the outpouring of divine wisdom. It is the wisdom of God that makes us to speak with wisdom. It is a wisdom learned, a wisdom received. It is not human wisdom. It is the wisdom of the divine truth, It is the truth that Christ alone speaks to us, both in sacred scripture and tradition. It is the truth, Christ himself, strengthening us in prayer. The scene of today's gospel, therefore, is a prophecy of baptism, precisely what happens every time a catechumen is brought to that sacred font. The crossroads that is our backdrop symbolizes the universal call of salvation. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor Roman nor Gentile, to paraphrase the great St. Paul. All civilizations, without exception, all men born in the image and likeness of our God, are called to be reborn from this sacred font. And it is here at this crossroads that our Lord will utter that holy command, "Be thou opened, receive the word of God." But in retreating yet into that inner sanctum to which we referred, that is to say, apart from the crowd, Don Guéranger sees a great moral lesson for us. Where can we best receive the word of God? Where can we hear his sacred voice? Like the prophet Elijah in the book of Kings, we will not hear his voice in wind, earthquake, and fire. That is to say, we will not hear his voice in the roaring winds of worldly change. We will not hear it in the earthquake of political scandal, strife, and vain news. We will not hear it in the crackling fire of the passions of this life and its pride. No, on the contrary, we will hear it in that still, small voice. That voice which speaks sweetly, softly in the hearts of the Christian faithful, whose ears, the ears of their soul, have been opened to hear him. That is to say, as our blessed Savior goes away from the crowd to open this man's ears, to loosen his tongue, likewise must we retreat from the world. Where would we receive the gift of the word of God if we would be anointed with heavenly wisdom and given the grace to speak it? We must first receive it away from the world, away from its so-called wisdom, away from its learning, away from bloodlust and avarice, away from its pure impurity and madness. The divine truth will open our ears and loosen our tongues by scripture, tradition, and prayer. By the meditation of sacred scripture, the true words of God, the Word himself. Also by the humble reception of the sacred tradition of the Holy Roman Church, the Church's infallible living commentary on all the truths of our Catholic faith. St. Paul reminds us of that tradition in today's epistle. Tradidi quod et accepi, he says, "I have handed down what I have also received." Finally, it is in our humble and charitable prayer, time dedicated to God, time refused to the world, away from the crowd, it is there that we will hear that sacred but gentle voice. It is a lesson for us in every age. Where Christ has reigned, as the Gospel says, he has done all things well. He waits for us there, not at the crossroads of human ambition, not in the market of human glances and attention. He waits for us in that place apart, that place where we withdraw from the world, where we receive him, where we go to meet him, the beloved of the Canticle of Canticles, the bridegroom of our heart. Take today, therefore, as an invitation from our blessed Savior to renew the grace of our baptism, to renounce Satan and all his works and pomps, to be opened evermore to God the Word. Our Lord never ceases to speak the divine word to our souls, but that sweet hymn of creation and redemption flowing from his sacred lips can only be heard in the quiet of a loving retreat away from the world in prayer and meditation. The effect will be as grand for us as it was for the man who profited by today's miracle to our profit. Works that were difficult, moments that we failed to understand, will be revealed, reordered by the divine wisdom himself. In us too, he will have done all things well, making us though deaf to hear and mute to speak. The complete word of God to which baptism opens us in scripture, tradition, and prayer will be completed at last by the advent of God the Word himself in our hearts, if our ears are opened to receive him and our mouths opened to beckon him, it is so that our hearts too might become a fitting dwelling place for his real and substantial presence in Holy Communion. May we always be found listening to the promptings of the Word of God, in order that we might be able to receive worthily God, the eternal Word, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, our Eucharistic Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.